What's good? Thanks for coming.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. I like the outfit. What do you? What, tell me about what you're wearing.
Well, shit. It's just a normal shirt, but the sweatsuit is my label, Rich Ruthless Records. So you know what I mean. I just do a little merch that I mock up for, you know, customize the label if it's not a medical marijuana or myself, you know what I mean? It's something of my own that I'm wearing.
I read that you're doing stuff with, is it medical marijuana? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I definitely do, yeah.
Okay, so how did that all get started?
Really, that started during the pandemic, like 2020. I had a business partner who had a micro license and, you know, a retail. We put two and two together and we just started dibbling dabbling in ourselves, and my business partner, Big A, which is my uncle, outsourced a deal with a distro and a grow. So we had outdoor marijuana and we were doing pretty good. You know what I mean? We had outdoor flower.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So it did pretty good. So we lasted through the pandemic to like 2023.
Which had to be tough.
Yeah. Did you guys
thrive during the pandemic? Because some people did well.
We sold, we did $1 million a year. You feel what I'm saying?
Damn.
You know, to shoot an estimated number. So in that 3 years, I did, you know, $3 million, got me a micro license myself. And then I sit here in the transition and now to doing what I smoke, you know what I mean? The problem back then was not too many people knew that I owned it, you feel what I mean? And we did really, really well, like I say, just jump off, and it was outdoor flower, so I don't do outdoor flower myself.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? I'm indoor man, you feel what I mean? I mess with concentrates, edibles, and everything, none of the other. So at that, it was hard for them to say, hey, let's start marketing it with you, but, you know, Eric's not going to smoke this. So it lasted a while, and we went through a tough time during the fires that we had during that season.
Right.
And just price fluctuating at that time. So I wanted to dibble dabble and turn around and get into more. So the indoor side,
yeah,
which is something I do myself. You feel what I'm saying? And the retail, you know what I mean? So then that's what I'm doing now. And I got a new line called Little E Exotics. That's through Rich and Ruthless. So Rich and Ruthless was the line. And we just had certain different flavors like Compton Firehouse, you know, Compton Candy, you feel what I'm saying? Compton this, Compton that. And we just put our names behind it. So now I'm doing indoor, which is Little E Exotics, which is a Petrol Blue Flame, Compton Candy, and Real Compton City OG.
Wow.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's three flavors that I'm doing. And, you know, that's where I'm at now with it.
Is that taking up most of your day?
Not necessarily, no. You know what I mean? I got a big event this Saturday where I sit here and make my first transition of going to meet, you know, different grows, you feel what I'm saying, different cultivations, to sit here and get exactly what I want and see where I'm going to fit there and find a home with. And then introduce myself to individuals that are going to probably give me in about 50 dispensaries, which I was. I was in 100 dispensaries when I did my ritual.
Damn, okay. You know what I mean? So you're an actual manufacturer. You're not a dispensary.
No, I have a retail.
Okay, so you do have a retail.
I have my partner has retail that I, you know what I mean, that I'm partners with him in as a Remedy Room in
What's that process then, getting your license in California to do that?
Oh, shit, it's an expensive process, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then, you know, that's what I have him for. But as far as in the research and the knowledge that I get from him, it's just, you know what I mean, a lot of hard work, taxes, you feel what I'm saying, that we definitely all do pay, you feel what I mean?
You guys get fucked in the ass out here in Texas.
Very much.
I mean,
very
that shit much. Is brutal.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, it is.
It's crazy if I break it down to, you know, where you filter it at, but then I'll be telling on us as businessmen.
Yeah, no, don't do that. I wouldn't do that to myself.
You know what I mean?
What the fuck?
You know what I mean? But you know, it's just a tough thing. That's why we got these fluctuated prices. And you learn that when you sit here getting a business, as far as, and just like, you know, the real consumers coming in and buying a $60 eighth. You feel what I'm saying?
100%.
You feel what I'm saying? That's just, you know, on both sides, I understand it, because, you know what I mean? I'm a consumer, and the fact now I'm being a businessman, and then, you know, there's numbers that I got to crunch that I just don't feel right. Marketing standpoint and having the individuals come and buy you off the shelf. You
feel what I'm saying?
So when we had Rich and Ruthless, you know what I mean? We had, you know what I mean? You're selling wholesale, you know, ace for $8, $9.
Damn.
You know, I had an exclusive grow. You feel what I'm saying? And I can't knock it. That goes back to my old partners, and they know who they are when they hear me speak this, that it was lucrative dealing with you. You know what I mean? It was just, you know, I mean, business that just had to sit here and stay more tighter. You feel what I'm saying? And, and grow into the best interest of what happened. It was what us producing. You
yeah,
feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Because
so good thing I'm a real nigga. So therefore, there's like I appreciate them. You feel what I'm saying? I appreciate them because they got me to the business, got me to understand. But at one point in time, we went from looking like some shit that we just went out and pulled out the grass to growing some, you know, nice, decent flower that it was a high THC percentage. And we was able to sit here and let you walk out the door or dispensary with that for between $17 to $20.
So here's a question for you then. Do you think that the higher THC percentage is the answer for making weed like... I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I live in Cleveland, Ohio, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I hear you.
All right. So
going legal soon.
It's legal now.
Now, yeah, or transition to it.
It's transition yeah. to.
Oh, yeah, it's a coal monopoly I see happening on your guys' side of the Midwest.
I had my medical card, and I'd go in, and I think, I mean, depending where you go, you can get an eighth for $20 some places, $40, different percentages, stuff like that. But then you come out here, bro, and you smoke the weed out here, and it's just something different about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it just fucks you all the way up.
I hear you.
Right? In comparison. And so I just wanted to kind of know if you maybe had an answer for me as to why that is. Because I don't understand it.
I mean, it's just the West. So, you know, we grow the best. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But you guys were actually getting yaws from Detroit, right? Honestly, right?
Dude, honestly, I couldn't. Honestly. I probably shouldn't say this. Maybe we should have this out.
No, that's later. It's just.
No. I was going to say, I know so many people that don't go to the dispensaries. All they do is they drive to Michigan.
There you, at least you're going.
It's two hours.
Thank you.
It's
you're going
far.
To Michigan. And that's why I said I see the monopoly happening.
Yeah.
Why? Now that you guys become legal, I wonder how did that flood, you know, that footwork in Michigan is going to sit here and go down. You feel what I'm saying? Because of why you guys have, now you're going
to
start.
Oh, it's going to be. I would love to see the statistics on that.
Oh, trust me. And you know, I'm a street nigga. So me just being there, I knew this was going on because why? The same partners I have one in Bay City.
Well, then here's the question that remains then. It, as a legal place to obtain weed now in Ohio, whenever that does transition.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to see that same kind of drop off when surrounding states eventually legalize, because it's just headed in that direction.
No, it is. And that's when the prices are going
to
go back.
Because everybody's going to go to what's convenient, right? And for most people, they're like, shit, I'll go buy 2-3 ounces. I'll go buy whatever QP, you know, and go to Detroit.
Yeah.
Or what? Swing by the dispensary a couple times, pay overpriced, like. Yeah, nobody does that shit. So, it'll be. I'm actually really excited to see that.
Yeah. But it's just a different grow. We, you know what I mean? It's just it's just a catch-up game. And to be real, I think Detroit has caught up to having good weed like that. You know what I mean? In Detroit, per se.
Right.
Not just Michigan. I'm going to say in Detroit. And, you know, Ann Arbor, Bay City, all the surrounding areas. You feel what I mean?
Like, where do you think your entrepreneurial spirit came from? As far as that kind of stuff goes, because I mean, bro, that's a hell of an undertaking that you have right there, right? I mean, that's a very different situation.
Yeah, it is. It is. Entrepreneurship, just, you know, all of it really comes from, you know, I mean, just, you know, as it makes individuals mad, it's that and the other. It's like, you know, when you have a father that was a great father when you were a kid, you want to simulate to sit here, and he was great at what he did, you know, and that's not even an argument or statement. You feel what I'm saying? He was excellent at what he did. You feel what I mean? As opposed to Michael Jordan's son or LeBron's son wanting to follow their father's footsteps. You feel what I'm saying? And I don't, you know, see where people would have a difference understanding me going back to an 80s baby to, you know what I mean, an individual that was just like that. You know, not too many coming from where we come from in Compton. So my daddy to me was excellent. You feel what I'm saying? And I lost him at a young age.
I have a 7-year-old, and I thought of, I was thinking about that when mentioned it. I was like, man, you're so
thank you.
Young.
You know, but a lot of people don't really understand that till they sit here and go off and have kids themselves to understand it. That's what I'm telling you. You feel what I'm saying? And I got an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old, and imagining sitting there being absent from them all of a sudden. You
crazy.
Feel what I'm saying? I couldn't imagine that being on there. And you know what I mean? I'm a man to have my own boy like that. And so, having a father like that, you grew up like that. He was my hero. You feel what I'm saying? Not a Wolverine or the Superman. This nigga was it. You feel what I'm saying? From our city, Compton. You feel what I'm saying? Like, of it all. And was all of a sudden taken from me. So my transition to wanting to sit here, and if I was going to do anything, it was going to be sitting there in the replication of him. You feel what I'm saying? It was the best.
Right.
You feel what I mean? So when you think of entrepreneurship, even like I was just talking to you outside and saying, hey, you know, I went every road and avenue of something that my father, I hustled. You feel what I'm saying? You did all of that because you always wanted to emulate being great like him.
Was that much harder, do you think, for you being the son of, I mean, an absolute fucking legend, right? Like, yeah. Like for you to grow up and it's like people want to be supportive of you maybe in an extra way or maybe in a fake way. And then, you know, I mean, how did you navigate that?
You got all of it. So you had to learn and navigate it. Like you navigate a lot of things that you grew up and learned to do in your life. You know, thread out the fake, the real, you know what I mean? And then you get to the point to where you utilize and use them for the benefit of what it is. If it's fake, give it fake as far as in this and take it for what it's worth. If it's real, you kind of really gravitate to them and start really understanding in their qualities, you feel what I'm saying? And everything else had, you know what I'm saying, the smoke and mirrors to it, you feel what I mean? You know how to jump in and dodge it. But being his son, I got all of that, you feel what I'm saying? All of that, you feel what I mean? Because, of, again, he ain't here to say it and this is for real or this what this is, you feel what I mean? You know what I mean? So everybody was a friend. Everybody was this. Everybody say, hey, I felt this way, but I was probably really, you know what I'm saying, hating on him or feeling like this way or wish I would have did it this way. I can't control this, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? I can't go
right, and 'cause beat everybody this nigga has, and to some extent has enemies somewhere, right?
Yeah. And I understood that. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you know, just look at everybody in the world. You know what I mean? A lot of people either hate them and love them. It's not just one way.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So being a kid, it used to be a problem for me, for individuals not feeling like how you didn't respect and love this nigga that's really did it for individuals that come from where I'm from. And then I grew up to understand, like, hey, you just got to take it for what it's worth. You feel what I mean? Like, you know, they hated Jesus. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? That's just me. I'm going to keep it real.
Is it different, the love that you see and get from, you know, maybe the people in Compton versus somebody like myself?
From my city? Oh, my city is love. No, my city don't got no fake individuals.
Right.
You know what I mean? We just don't bread it. And usually if it's any fake, every area, there ain't a place in Compton you go that's not gangbang. You feel what I'm saying? It's not a hood or anything.
It's so, just everywhere.
Yeah, they're going to get threaded out. You feel what I mean? But ain't you know what I mean? Like just growing up, like everything from my city. That's why I used to tell people. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Compton that bad? Yeah. You know what I mean? What about the red rags or the blue rags? Ain't a buster from my city at all.
Right.
So imagine going with all these individuals that have been raised this way and have all of this, you feel what I'm saying, just rocked up emotion. We a real terrible city. Why? Ain't a buster in any hood, in any city, any square. As much as you may think that you rolled over them, like our city's built of real individuals in this world. And if you make it out, you like Tarzan. You feel what I'm saying? You make it out. You can take every instance of even individuals on the other side of this camera. You know what I'm saying? Minutes I didn't know how he was raised and grew up. We made it out. You feel what I'm saying? To where we come from. You feel what I mean? You go walk these worlds and go and be able to sit here function every and anywhere. You feel what I mean? Everybody else can't take a person grading outside of our area. Feel like you want to see her come in these areas or these ways. I don't know how to adapt to life. Might want to blow your brains out because you done came down to your last rock.
Right.
You know, your last dollar. You feel what I'm saying? Like, we done been through it all.
We went down to, I think the one thing that blew my mind, I went down and did a podcast with Menace at Gonzales Park.
Yeah.
At a barbecue. And
you can imagine living over there?
Who?
Can you imagine living over
there? You know, probably not. You know?
Can you imagine seeing her getting into it?
I might spend the night.
Yeah,
you know
but look,
what I mean?
Oh, nah, and I'm talking about living over there, walking the streets at night, getting into it with half the men you've seen
I've
over there.
Out, and where did I go at night? He took me to the Crenshaw with the Crenshaw Car Show. I went out there.
So, yeah, you got to experience it. But
well,
yeah.
But what's crazy to me is like, so in no white neighborhood, I come from a neighborhood with very few black people.
Yeah.
Or anybody but white people.
Mm-hmm.
And
now see the difference? My where I live now is all but white people.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah.
I'm the only black person. Yeah. So again, we could adapt.
Yeah.
We could adapt. Can you go vice versa?
But it goes. I think I could for a period of time. I think what's crazy though is the camaraderie in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Is way better than the camaraderie in.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. The lady down the street, she gonna tell on you because you're doing something you ain't supposed to do.
There's just so many more haters in that situation. Now with that being said,
not tell on you as in like she's want to get you in trouble. If they don't say nothing to you, they don't care from my neighborhood.
Yeah.
They say something to you, they care about you.
Yeah, that's good.
So if she gonna go tell grandma with them and the other, she care about me not running in these streets doing this, running around doing what I wasn't supposed to do in other people's backyard I wasn't supposed to be in. Those that's what I mean in as far as in that instance, so people can understand, you know what I mean? So they don't say something to you, you know, don't try to get you in trouble, you know what I mean? They don't care about you in Compton. Them, you know, the old grandmamas and all that, they care, so they gonna say something about it.
Yeah, see, the white, you know what I mean? White old ladies are just fucking assholes.
You know what I mean? So now
they're not there. They're not there for you.
The camaraderie is there. You know what I mean? What's it called down here? He shouldn't have been sitting here with them than the other. Is he supposed to be over here? Nah, you feel me? Like, okay, well, how you know, grandma? Don't matter. Yeah, you somewhere you weren't supposed to be. You feel what I'm saying? So that's the care that we have, we individuals. We gonna go get some sugar from down the street. That's how we grew up. You know what I'm saying? If such and such got something down the street that we need, you're going to go send Eric down there to go get it from them. Not going to, I don't want to, grandma, do what I said. Okay. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, we care.
And your grandma raised you for the most part after?
Since I was two.
So okay. Before. So even prior to that.
Even before.
So in the aftermath of your father's passing, was that something that was like very much in your face for an extended period of time?
Yeah, because you.
I mean, it's still obviously a big part of your life, right? But
all the time.
But at that particular moment,
yeah, because it was on the news. He was as big as Magic Johnson. You know what I'm saying? As far as an individual who so quote unquote has his disease, and he was making just his money. He's just as popular, just as famous. So when it hit, it was just like it was consistently in your face. It was on TV. It was this. You're filmed at the funeral. Funerals on the news.
Yeah,
you feel what I'm saying? All of this. You don't even have no emotions because you have so much stuff going around.
Right.
Like my emotions didn't come until I got back home or away, and it was just me and my grandma and grandpa. And then my emotions come, or my sister. You know what I mean? Seeing them go through it because they're a little slightly younger, so they were like the sixes and like your son's age, you know, okay. 7 and 7 years old and stuff like that. You feel what I mean? And, you know, me, I'm 10. We bury him April 7th. I turn 11 March, April 23rd.
This is heartbreaking.
You feel what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? That's why I say I go to my son being 11 years old. Like, I couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, I go to the store. Where you going, Dad? He see me get dressed. Where you going, Dad? I'm on my way to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where you going, Dad? You feel what I'm saying? It's just all of that. For that not to just be clear, like, you couldn't imagine that. Wow. So it's like, I don't think it affects me more as you get older to really understand, because again, you as having a son know the love you have for that. That go deeper than probably your brother.
Than anything, yeah.
You know it, bro. Yeah, it go deep. Oh, yours for you. It go deep, yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that. Like, how could you? No, I feel it when I have my son now.
So you understand that. So you're probably of the thought, I'm guessing, but I'm of the thought of like, how could somebody abandon their child, right? Like,
how
could somebody be a father and just not be around? That shit's crazy,
man. Come on, you know, and I have kids that it affects me because I have kids that don't live in house with me, so it's when they hit my phone and be like, "Dad, when can I come over?" We do neither. Your immediate attention is feels like I want to fly and just pick you out of bed right now and go.
But you got to do the best you can do with the situation you have. Yeah. You can't be two places at once, and mm-hmm. I've learned that too. But
you got that love, so it just reflects on what you went through, and then you come to realize, like, damn, I never really got no therapy for letting that go.
Yeah.
It just went on. Why? Because it's still this long, you feel what I'm saying? 30 years away, and I'm still, I feel it because I can imagine with my boy, you feel what I'm saying? It's like, damn, I never really had no even get over, because in high school you kind of I threaded away from being easy son. So in high school it's like I went to high school,
you almost hated it in a way, huh?
In Long Beach, it just wasn't the fact of hating it just is like it brought like a, you know what I mean, like a chill, like that's, you know what I mean, that's what it did, and that's just normal for anybody, you know what I mean. Like I say, I was 11, so it's like you're going through, you know, school is still haunting you. It still comes up every time that you knew was occasion that he was always there.
Yeah.
Like we spent every holiday in Compton at his mother's house. We spent every holiday there. So when that stopped, and it always hits you. And then it's of course like he goes above and beyond for a birthday. And then I'm the only one staying with his mother. So it's like him coming to see his mother and his father, and then coming seeing his oldest son, his oldest child. You feel what I'm saying? So it was like a significant of things that you knew that, you know, you always see them, those grabbed you. Then I'm going into high school. Now, high school, I didn't go to school in my city. I went to school at Long Beach.
Right.
So it was like, hey, I was somewhere away where it didn't have to be conversated about and you had to go in the shell. Like, I literally went through 9th, 10th, and 11th grade dressed like this.
Really? You were just like, yeah.
And when you look at the
concept.
You
didn't want nothing to do with it.
And it was crazy because why? People used to say, all I knew was you was that boy in the hood.
That's it.
With the hood. So you boys in the hood.
Yeah.
You took a reference like, damn, it's never going to leave.
Me. Yeah, yeah. It's like, literally chasing say, you like, everywhere you go.
Like who? He's like, that was his son? You talking about that boy who always had the hood on? The boy in the hood? And that was me. I kept the hoodie on. You feel what I'm saying? And it's like, look at my life relayed to his most famous song. You know what I mean? Like the boy, like they referenced me as the boy in the hood because I was in XXL and I left the school and went to my home school. So I go to my home school. I got to a point in my life around 16 years old where it was like, I'm maturing as a man. I'm in the streets running around. Now you got my big homies like, hey, you acting just like you do. You running around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Imagine your daddy. So now it's embraced. It's like I'm coming into me. You know what I mean? I get in XXL magazine. Like, no, I'm Lil Easy E. This is what it is. But Lil E was my name. That's my hood name.
Okay, so okay.
It was Lil E. And I'm like, you know, this is what it is. Like, now I'm standing on it. But I left that school now. So people used to think back, like, who? The boy in the hood? You know what I mean? And like, wow, we didn't know he was Easy's son. Why? Because he hid it.
Yeah, you didn't really want people
like,
to
like, my coach
that.
Used to sit here and say, my name's Eric Wright. You know what I'm saying? My coach used to say, you know, call your name. Mark, you here? Yes, y'all, you here? You know what I'm saying? Like, Easy E. And it knocked me like this. Eric Wright, did you know you got the same name as Easy E? my football coach said that. For real.
He has no idea.
No motherfucking idea. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, damn, like heart beating and everything. Like, did they find out? Did they find out? So all my boys I went and played football with see me now like, dog, you never said nothing. Like, nigga, we really went to school with Eazy's son. Play. We were like, nigga, we did, nigga, we had the same locker room, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
No one knew.
Shared motherfucking, you know what I'm saying? Pop Warner pads and all this, that. I'm not Pop Warner, high school football pads and all that and the other with each other. And you never told us. Like, nope. Never knew.
For the way he passed away, I've speculated for a long time that I don't believe that he, I think something happened that created this problem.
Appreciate it. You're one of the smartest thinking individuals on the aspect of his life.
Listen, there's just been too many things that just don't make sense, right?
Yeah.
And
so imagine being there. Imagine seeing it. Imagine, it's like what people don't know. Imagine when you're in the hospital joking and talking, just as we're talking and having fun and laughing. And then the next day, you got tubes in your mouth. And then just less than a week from there, you're dead. You know what I mean? So imagine a son who was there the day that you had your surgery, who was there the nights that you was sitting here just chilling, eating, you know, McDonald's, conversating with all of us, and you're fine, and you're finna be up out of here. When I'm going up there with your mother and father, which who I live with, so therefore I'm up there more frequent than all of the kids. You feel what I'm saying? I'm there. You know what I mean? Which is why I'm going up there when, you know what I mean? They're telling us you're finna go into surgery, and I'm there. You know, the child that's there that can look straight ahead and see them pumping on your chest. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Walking out, you know, that's why I got emotional, cried.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Walk back in there and you can't talk, but you can talk. You get what I'm saying? You can't talk, but you can talk.
Something's
and you can't
up.
Talk.
That's why there's no way. Like, even when I know it was Suge Knight, I don't remember what show he went on.
Yes, Jimmy Kimmel.
And
trust me, you think I won't know?
I figured you'd know, which is why I said it with confidence. I didn't know because I figured you would. But he went on there and he speculated that, you know, essentially somebody could have jabbed your dad.
Okay, so what is he doing now in jail? He's airing out everything, right? So maybe you might get an episode where he airs out that it was truth to it, but he wasn't powerful.
Did he talk about that in a recent episode or something?
No, he ain't said nothing about that. But okay. It might be something he brings up. But what is he doing? He's coming clean, right? You feel what I'm saying? So in the sense of when people ask me, what do I feel about it is, you might know it was done, but you're not the individual to sit here and make the joke and say you did it. But all you did to me, in a sense, you just dry snitched on the truth that we've been known all our life. That's all. You know what I mean? So when people say, hey, when you would do, because I've seen this, man, when just like me and you were telling him, me and him was locked up together outside. I was locked up in there when he came in there. So I was just telling you, the time I was in jail, It was the time the movie was coming out. So you feel what I'm saying? I didn't get out. Yeah, I didn't get out until what? That summertime when the movie came. Remember, in fact, 10 days. I got out 10 days before we went to the premiere. He was in there because he ran over his friend Terry Carter.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So we crossed paths in there, and everybody always asked questions. You feel what I'm saying? And it was like, wow, what a coincidence. I'm getting out, you coming in. You feel what I'm saying? Like, yeah, God work in mysterious ways, brother. You feel what I'm saying? It works in mysterious ways. But, yeah, you dry snitched on the truth being it that happened.
I'm not saying that specifically is what happened. All I'm saying is Suge Knight knows what the fuck happened. That's what I'm saying.
Not specifically, it was a shot. It was this. It was that. The easiest thing to sit here and get a person with that does it. Such and such died of overdose. We knew because why? He liked doing dope. You know what I mean? He liked shooting up. Such and such died of AIDS. We knew why, because he fucks a lot of women, has a lot of kids. You get my drift?
But it was just so suddenly, the sudden onset of it, and I'm not a doctor, but I'm saying based on the symptoms that I've read and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I studied it like I was.
It doesn't really make any sense.
You wouldn't be going into surgery if you had any type of HIV, anything. Your white blood cells wouldn't even be able to recover for you to sit here, come back to do a leakage of your lungs to do that. So if you had that, why was he sitting here going through, an operation any of them times? You feel what I'm saying? So that was just one itself.
Is there anything you guys can do from your standpoint to, further investigate that in any capacity reopen any sort of investigation of foul play? I'm just kind of curious.
It's a possibility. Something my sisters might do. You feel me?
I saw that your sister. Yeah.
Something they might, they're highly into wanting to look into.
I think it just should be looked into. That's all.
Yeah.
Suge Knight's still alive. Fuck him. That's what I say. So, I just don't, I don't agree with that other shit. And I just think that I'm a big fan of your dad.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
For real.
It's a lot to feel that way, love, but he got love for everybody, man. And everybody else going to have to sit here and deal with their causes or what they got to do. You feel what I'm saying? So, it is what it is with him. But he doesn't, if anybody wants to know, he doesn't have a ring over my life to where I give a fuck about thinking about it.
Yeah, that's good.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's good.
Don't do that to me. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about going to, therapy in any capacity? Or is that something for you that you're just like,
It's crazy you said that, because I would say, but I would probably want to do it with my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be more so of a thing that I'm contributing to help others that needed it a little bit more than me.
Yeah, I get it.
You feel what I'm saying? Me, I think I kind of breaded it out. Don't get me wrong. It's a spot in there, but I take a shower. That's when I express that spot and get it out.
Of course.
It's not like it's holding over me, or bringing me down or anything in the nature. I gotta suck it up, wash my face, and get out there because I got kids I got to live for.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing, though. Yeah. It's part of you.
And then me and you already got that understanding is I never want to give them what I went through. So I got to make sure what I'm okay. You feel what I'm saying? Each and every day. You feel what I'm saying?
And if you don't mind me asking about that, I'm glad you said that. I was told that the estate was not really... Was that not given to you guys? Is that what the case was?
No, we don't have the estate.
Again, doesn't make any sort of sense, right?
I hear you there too.
And so I had that conversation with BG Knockout, and that's what he said. He was pretty pissed about that whole situation. Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to say anything, yeah. But he's like, it's not for me to speak on, but
yeah,
But it in my theory is that it's a woman that. Has that
it's my stepmother
your stepmother,
so in respects of saying it, I work with my stepmother.
Yeah,
she owns it by right, but she's very, very much entwined with the family.
So, okay,
everybody has their views on it,
yeah,
and how they want to sit there and say it, but I can't sit here and lie to you and saying that I could sit here and legally open up and say, the kids own the estate. No, we don't. My stepmother does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But my stepmother is highly in.
I was just curious. It's not really that it's any of my business. It's just me being nosy. But I am always curious about that stuff.
So we work hand in, we work with her on different things, and then some have their own different opinion about it and feel like, you know, there's things that haven't been done. You feel what I mean? So, you know, there you go, where you think that that's just, you know, family situation, a business that you need to therapeutically sit down and talk about and get through. You feel what I'm saying? So that, for me, that's just, you know, the best route for that. But you have a lot of outside people that, you know, would have their own thoughts and thought about things about it. You know what I mean? But it's owned by her. Yes.
What are some things that you would like to contribute to the Compton community now, or that you do contribute maybe?
Oh, I mean, yeah, anything that I want to, I'm doing. So right. I just to let that out there, I'm doing. I just did my first Eric Wright Foundation toy drive. I did two. I did two before Christmas. You feel what I'm saying? And that was awesome. My first one, and it was very successful. You know what I mean? I had over 1,000 toys, you know what I'm saying? Contributed with everybody else, but you know what I mean? That just, like, I always want to tell them, everybody, I just want to say, when I come and I do it, and I did it for the mayor, I did it for the city council, I did it on their toy drive and everything.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to beat your chest. It's the fact of, you know what I mean? When it comes, I'm going to come big for it, giving back to my city. You feel what I'm saying? And it just acknowledged that. So therefore, when I do want to sit here, possibly step in politics and everything, that is understood and remember, and my back, it gets scratched as well. You feel what I'm saying? So no, yeah, I have done plentiful of what I want to do and continuously do for my city. So April 7th, we're also going to do another one because it's Easy Day in Compton. So the week before, on March 31st, which Easter falls on, I'm doing another toy drive. So, you know, miss 3 months.
Damn, bro, you're busy.
Yeah, for the miss of 3 months, you know what I mean? I want to give back to it. I want to bring lucrative businesses that I want, you know what I mean, to my city. You feel what I'm saying? And put in, hire a lot of these kids to, you know what I mean, working programs to where, you know, if they're underage, you know, I can still work with them to sit here and make them have, you know what I mean, some kind of vision, some kind of growth in life. You know
what's the biggest challenge for a kid in Compton right now, from your perspective?
The biggest challenge is them growing up without the stigma that, you know, they kind of put on the city, or growing up without a father figure.
Okay. Combination of both. Yeah. I think the stigma thing on Compton was pretty interesting. Because like the toy drive stuff that you do, in the city where I'm from, like people don't show up like that. It just doesn't happen. Right. Like it's just the camaraderie is extremely different.
Yeah.
Right. Extremely different.
Okay. Peep this. My the second toy drive I did it was in Looters Park. So you know, there you go, that goes to knock on the camaraderie and the growth that you have. I did it to where you would think that's a Suge's park.
Yeah.
You know, it's his neighborhood. You feel what I'm saying? As you was sitting there saying, you know what I mean? So I did it over there. That was the second one. Gave back. Minutes came, you know, and the homies. So yeah, but no, I give you that's what it is. It's just, you want to grow your city and love your city on all angles. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm beyond everything of that, you feel me? And again, it's for the youth, and that don't stop. You know, any corner, any block, any side of Compton, them kids don't stop from growing and needing somebody to grow and help them.
When you left high school, you went then in turn went back to Compton. Was that correct? Or you finished high school?
I graduated
high school right
in Compton, and then 3 days later, that's when I went to Las Vegas, California. You know what I mean? To live the big life. You know what I mean?
You went right for it, huh?
What?
That's hilarious.
Trying to do it all. Trying to do it all. Being managed. But yeah, that's where I went. Then I came back to Compton. That's when I got my record deal.
So tell me how music started for you. Was it something that was always, you know, something that you wanted to do? Or was it something maybe you found a little bit later in life?
Found later in life. I didn't want to do this shit.
Really?
No, hell no. You know what I mean? Just the dice that roll and gravitated to me to continue as a legacy. That's my object and goal of why I do this stuff. I didn't pick up the mic and say I want to be the best MC. I picked up the mic to say I'm going to continue representing for a legacy. You feel what I'm saying? To keep my pop's name on the map. You know, take his shoes out of the closet, make dust them off and make sure they're right and sit them back up on, you know, a nice little shrine or something. You know, not to sit here and go and create my own pair. Now, if that came along with the handy, you know what I mean? Hey, it's just another blessing. But nah, I didn't do it because I was in the block beatboxing and all that and doing that and writing since young. Nah, I played football. You know, that's what I did. You know, that's what I wanted to do, your dream.
That was your dream, football player. Good plan. NFL.
Man, what? I was there.
What position?
Running back.
Really? You were fast as fuck then, huh?
Still is.
Yeah?
Yeah. I still give you a 4.4, 4.5.
Damn.
I still give my daughter's a track star. I say, where you think she get it from?
Really? Yeah. Do you go to sporting events or anything?
All the time, yeah.
So you like sporting events. Menace doesn't go to sporting events because he says he doesn't watch other people play.
Yeah, well, I still can be it play, but I do. You know, I like it. That's the next job. You know what I mean? Analyst of job. I mean, I own sports. Or my main thing is really just help. Like, it's all about helping kids. You feel what I'm saying? So I wanted to be able to sit here and by the time minutes, you know, kids sit here, come up to football, be like, hey, let me be their agent. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let me angle them here. You feel what I'm saying? You know what I mean? These my resources. This is what we could do, provide. Keep them right, make sure that they sit here growing and utilizing and counting their money the right way and gonna go get them some real dollars.
Right.
You feel what I mean? So that's my next dream. That's my, you know, my next dream.
You really love being a parent. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You really, and how old's your oldest, you said?
My oldest is 21.
And your youngest is?
My youngest is 8.
So you're a busy guy. Yeah. You're a busy guy. Really got that going for you. Now are you doing any more traveling? Any more shows? Like, tell me what's coming up for you.
I stay on the road. So I just got back from Australia. We came back for the Grammys to accept the Lifetime Achievement Award my father was presented with NWA, and then I had to cut that short. So I've been home. You know what I mean, from the beginning of February to now. And next week I get on the road interstate. You know what I mean? I'm in our country, and then in May I get back to Australia. So I'll be in Australia for 2-3 weeks over there.
You like it over there?
Love it.
That's the spot.
What? That's the most frequent one I've been to, but that's a spot. But I've been a little bit everywhere. Kuala Lumpur, Bali, Pakistan. You feel what I'm saying?
Pakistan, Turkey. You been to Pakistan?
I've been to Pakistan.
What's that like?
Oh, that was something else.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean something else? Give me a breakdown.
Oh man, it's like a man, it's just different. You feel what I'm saying? It's just a different culture. You know what I mean? Some places people get the inside of thinking like, oh, third world. Like, you know what I mean? Some, you know, in a reference, you know what I mean? Like, I went surpassed my visa acceptance. Like, I went to like the other side of Kalad, I think I want to say.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I went to the other side of that to a beach. My visa wasn't accepted to go there because it was dangerous, but I went and shot a video over there. So I got the spirits a little bit of everything. You feel what I'm saying? From the mountains to the city. To just at all, you know what I mean? And you definitely should go with somebody because we do not.
You don't travel alone on that trip, huh?
Not at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you really, you really going to a different country, you know what I mean? To know that culture is accepted and not to be a place where, you know, tourism is not even, it's like not even known over there. So, yeah, you're going to.
Yeah, I would assume they don't get a lot of tourists.
Not at all.
What's your favorite place you've ever been?
Oh, man. I just
told you. Because you seem to have done a lot of traveling.
Australia, yeah, that's nice.
Australia is the shit.
Yeah, Bali was beautiful. It's just, you know, it was an island, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, like different type of weather you got to adjust to. Indonesia was good. Kuala Lumpur, I love that, you know what I mean? But I've frequently been to Australia, and I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I've been to London. I've been to Sweden, Denmark, Netherlands. Norway.
Are you doing performances when you travel all these places?
Yeah. Pakistan, I didn't. Pakistan, I was just a leisurely trip that I ended up shooting a video on.
At what point in the conversation with whomever you went with are you like, all right, we're going to go to Pakistan? Because you're going to, at that point, obviously go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Right? So, but how did we land on
Pakistan? Well, he's one of my good friends, Haroon. He's from Pakistan.
Okay, okay.
So he went back to his motherland, and he had individuals that were a fan of mine and wanted to do it. We did Ice Crazy. He did the song with me, Game, and them. You know what I mean? And he wanted to shoot a video. And you know what I mean? He's like, what would it be to, you know, have you, YouTube? And he's like, man, come on. Like, let's just get a flight. That's my, you know, motherland. I'll go over there with you, and we'll be straight and everything. And we went.
So it's all about who you're with.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah,
but and everywhere else is I'm touring.
So yeah, I've toured, you know, all through Europe. I toured all through Australia, like I say, some Asian countries, and just, you know, Europe is really it. Yeah,
for real. What is mental health to you?
I mean, it's everything. I mean, because it, you said it, though. You told him he just didn't sit there, but you didn't ask that question as he asked you. But it goes back to telling you as far as in what I feel like is needed with individuals that are my siblings. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that you know, could be a serious bother. It could destroy your life. You feel what I'm saying? If you don't have it, and we don't. A lot of individual kids that grow up in Compton, what we see and we go through, you know what I mean? We don't get no fix for that. Even the mamas, you feel what I'm saying? Even the daddies. You feel what I mean? We don't get no over, it gets overlooked. So that's why I say a lot of us, if we strive to sit here and get up outside of that, you know what I mean? Despite how we deal with it, you know, just like you asked me, I didn't go to no therapy, but how did you cope with it? You know what I mean? I didn't, you feel what I'm saying? It just went this way. You feel me? I just didn't let my mental health crash on it.
There's like, as far as resources go for these kids or like high schoolers, to like go and get help, or like, is there a way to put help in front of them where they're almost in a way like forced to take it? Because like that, growing up around that isn't normal. It's not like, for me, I didn't have to go to bed at night ever wondering if I was going to get shot or if, like, you know, like anything in that capacity. I didn't have to worry about that even kind of.
Yeah, I see. I mean, but then see, you take heed on what we grew up with. You know what I mean? But as far as now, no, I can't tell you. As far as in our time, it was none. You know, you just fucked up. You bad. Yeah. Something wrong with you. This is that and the other. You ain't gonna be shit. This, that, and the other. You know what I mean? So it was none when in our era. You feel me? At all. You feel me? You gonna go to jail? You just gonna learn fighting every day, doing this, thinking like shit. I'm tired of this motherfucking shit. You feel what I'm saying? Like, so it wasn't really too much of a learn for us in our generation. Now I don't know because. You know, my kids, you know what I mean, don't do there. I do have nieces and nephews there, you know what I mean? And I could just tell it's not, because I got two nieces and nephews, lost their daddy when they was three, four years old. You know what I mean? He got shot up, you know, killed. You know what I mean? And I know, you know, they frequently go through things, you feel what I mean? So I talk to them, but at school, do they catch that? Do they know that? No. They're going to shelter it, you feel what I mean? A lot of kids going to mask it, you feel what I mean? Mask it. Playing football, mask it, gang banging, mask it, being a little ratchet, mask it, just, hey, just going off the Richter, or either being okay and just living through it.
Yeah, you see a lot of, I think, like, my bigger concern in those neighborhoods is, like, you don't really see, I feel like no one talks about it, right, as much, and, like, for somebody in your... Yeah, somebody even from your era, or I'm 30 years old, so I'm a little younger than you, and like somebody a little bit, even from that era, like you would think that there would be more resources for those people to talk about things, and because it's got to be so numbing. Like I can't say I've ever met somebody from Compton that I would ever consider them to be somebody that I could ever see being scared. Like scared was just not an option for you guys.
Nah, you couldn't.
You see what I'm saying?
So you got me thinking, man, because I said this to my homie the other day, man, one of my older homies, that I felt bad because I put on a lot of young people. And some people I put on not living no more. And I felt responsible for leading them down a road of some shit that they wasn't prepared for.
Right.
They wasn't ready. Why? Because they were scared. They were scared that they was going to either sit here and keep getting taunted by us, punk by us, or they had nobody to say that except them. You feel what I'm saying? And I know a lot of young cats that ain't living that just wanted acceptance. And this is what we did for them to accept us. And we put them on this road and they went this way and all of that. Now he went from being scared to, hey, this is my lifestyle, but I'm not really prepared for it. And he gets shot and killed. You know what I mean? And I felt this way. I really, I'm keeping it real to you as far as the mental health, but I had to deal with it and just give it to God and have my acceptance, my you know what I'm saying, my forgiveness for it.
Change.
Yeah, I can't, but I definitely do. I feel like that. You're like, so, you really think like that? I say, yeah, nigga, I think like that. Why? Because you think about these, they were scared. They just wanted somebody to accept them, and we put them on. And then we sit here, and they felt on a way to act just like, you know, similar to us. And we knew they wasn't ready. We just doing it because it was fun. And it was just a thing to do. And we just putting in another little homie. And hey, he off the Richter and shot and killed. And I and me physically, I know. You just know some of them ain't cut like that.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? But we going to put them on the wing like this.
Yeah, and then I just feel like dealing for a lawsuit for you guys is a very different space because you're dealing with it in a volume that a lot of people could never really comprehend or even kind of begin to understand, you know.
I tell you, man, we the real men. We really Tarzan type 10.
Yeah.
Coming from Compton, and you survive now. You got some sense, and that sense is here going to take you to see and guide you some way of either be taking care of your family, right, leaving, you know, the dumb shit back and the other, but why? We can adapt to any and everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The much sorrow that we take and have the mental health to keep pushing now, oh, man, we something else.
Well, that's it. I mean, you guys, like, somebody will die, and it's like, yeah, it'll mess with you and stuff like that, like, where I'm from, it's like end of the world, it seems like, right? Where you guys are from, it's like, it's just taken so differently, right? And I think it depends who it is and the capacity in which it happens. You know, there's different variables, of course. I usually just wrap up my interviews by asking one final question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy would you consider yourself to be? And if it's not a 10, what do you think you'd do to get closer to a 10?
Ooh, wee. Happy I consider myself to be? Oh, man. You got to be happy you wake up every day healthy. So,
that's true.
I'm going to say about an 8.5, 9. How can it be 10? Is if everybody that I love woke up just as happy.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
You feel me? So, I know that because some are locked up. Some might be going through medical health issues. Some might be going through financial issues. So if I can have everybody wake up just as happy and have a solution to all that stuff, then it'll be a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that really would make the difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I appreciate that. And I seriously appreciate you coming.
Real talk.
That was dope. Yeah. I've been wanting to meet you. So that's sick. Appreciate that.
Yeah. It was cool. You did your thing.